Good evening, everyone. Before we go into our message for tonight, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, as we now draw near to you for fellowship through your word, we confess that our only hope and our security and our only way of access is the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, the blood of the covenant. And so, relying wholly upon your Son, Jesus Christ, his righteousness for us, his atoning sacrifice, and his resurrection, we pray now, Lord, that your Spirit would illuminate us, grant us understanding into your word as you intend for us to understand it, so that our sanctification would be empowered, and you, O Lord, would receive all glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's New Year's Eve worship service. As we are on the cusp of the new year, it'd be a good time to consider what goals we'll be taking with us into 2022. Whatever our various goals may be, if tonight we are in Christ Jesus, there is, in fact, only one goal that is necessary for us. If tonight we are born-again believers in Christ Jesus, there's only one goal to pursue if we would fulfill Christ's purpose for saving us. Well, what is that one goal? Jesus refers to this one necessary goal in Luke chapter 10, verse 41-42. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen a good portion, which will not be taken away from her." One thing is necessary, the one goal. In our text for tonight, the Apostle Paul expresses his single-minded commitment to that one necessary goal in verse 12 to 13 of our text. "Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do." But one thing I do, declares the Apostle Paul. What is that one thing? Is our life controlled and consumed by that one thing? Or tonight, are we anxious and troubled because we have complicated and muddled our lives by pursuing many things? These many things that distract us from the one thing that Christ has purposed for us as his redeemed people. Well, tonight we will be unpacking the one thing that the Apostle Paul pressed on to make his own, the one thing that is necessary for Christ's flock, the one thing that is the purpose for which Christ saved us. So with that said, let's turn to point number one of our message, the reason for pursuing the one thing. So we read in verse 12 of our text, "Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." The one necessary goal of the Christian life is succinctly summarized in the verses immediately preceding tonight's text in verse 10 to 11 of this chapter in Philippians 3. So this is what we read in verse 10 to 11. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul knew Christ to the extent that among the apostles, it was he who authored the greatest number of the epistles of Scripture by a significant margin. The Apostle Paul knew the power of Christ's resurrection to the extent that it motivated him, according to Scripture, to work harder for the gospel than all the other apostles. The Apostle Paul shared Christ's sufferings and was conformed to him in his death by willingly enduring imprisonments, beatings, lashings, stonings, and all manner of dangers, mistreatment, persecutions, and hardships for the sake of faithful obedience to God. And yet, despite Paul's superior degree of knowing Christ and superior conformity to Christ's own character, there was no sense in which he was satisfied and complacent about his spiritual progress. He had not yet obtained the great goal of the Christian life in complete fullness. He was still far from spiritual perfection. Verse 12 of our text, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And so he continued to pursue growth in knowing Christ Jesus and becoming like him with relentless focus and commitment. He pressed on to make this goal his own. This word translated as press on in verse 12 of our text in the original language is dioko, which means, according to one source, aggressively chase, like a hunter pursuing a catch. Paul pursued knowing Christ and becoming like him with aggressive, unflagging persistence. He pressed on. In verse 14 of our text, Paul compares his pressing on to know Christ and becoming more like him to the way a runner presses on towards the finish line of the race. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This analogy captures the single-minded focus with which the Apostle Paul pursued his goal to know Christ and to become like him. So why did the Apostle Paul press on to obtain this goal? Well, the answer is given to us in verse 12. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. There's the answer. There's the reason why the Apostle Paul pressed on to obtain this goal. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. For what purpose did Christ Jesus reveal himself to Paul and make Paul his own? If we are regenerated believers tonight, for what purpose did Christ Jesus reveal himself to us in his word and make us his own? Well, Scripture is clear about the purpose for which Christ has made any of us his own. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. The purpose for which Christ has made us his own is to make us like him, is to conform us to his likeness. So we're reading 1 John 3:2. And the very same thing is told to us in 2 Thessalonians 2:14. It's what we read there. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called through the gospel, brethren, so that we may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of this glory, John Stott writes, we will be radically and permanently changed, being transformed into his likeness. And in our transformation, his glory will be seen in us. For we will glow forever with the glory of Christ, as indeed he glowed with the glory of his Father. The purpose for which Christ has made us his own is to transform us into the likeness of his glory. And yet again, we are told of this ultimate purpose for which Christ has made us his own in Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. The purpose for which Christ has made us his own is to conform us to his own image, to transform us into the likeness of his glory, to make us like him. So what Paul declares in verse 12 is, since this is the goal for which Christ saved him, he strove with all his might to pursue that very same goal in his life. He pressed on to know Christ and to become like him. In other words, the Apostle Paul pursued with relentless, single-minded focus the activity that all who hope in the glory of Christ engage in. 1 John 3:3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. What is this verse talking about? Purifying ourselves as Christ himself is pure. It's talking about sanctification. Every born-again, spirit-indwelt believer engages in sanctification. It's true all across the board. And of course, there is no other kind of believer. Every believer, if we are indeed true believers in Christ, are born-again, spirit-indwelt believers. Every born-again, spirit-indwelt believer engages in sanctification. But not every believer pursues sanctification with relentless, single-minded focus, the likes of which the Apostle Paul refers to in our text for tonight. But do we realize that the purpose for which Christ died for us and made us his own is to make us like himself? Do we realize that the purpose for which Christ died for us and made us his own is to sanctify us in his own likeness in this present life and to glorify us in complete conformity to his image in the life to come? Have we grasped the centrality of this goal of knowing Christ and becoming like him in God's plan for our salvation? Do we understand, as Mary understood as she sat at the Lord's feet, that this is the one thing that is necessary for us? Or are we like Martha, troubled and anxious about many things, things that are superfluous to our God-given purpose on this earth and for eternity? Well, if we know with heartfelt conviction that this is the purpose for which Christ made us his own, if we fully accept that this and this alone is the one thing necessary for us, then we, like Paul, will press on with single-minded focus and relentless energy to know Christ Jesus and to become like him. Which brings us to our second point. What hinders pursuing the one thing? So we read on verse 13 of our text. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. In order to pursue that one thing, in order to press on to know Christ and to become more and more like him, the Apostle Paul needed to, number one, forget what lies behind, and number two, strain forward to what lies ahead. The first hindrance to pressing on towards the goal of knowing Christ and growing in his likeness is focusing on our past. That's the first barrier. Satisfied complacency about our past progress. An anxious fixation on our past failures keep us from pursuing Christ-like sanctification with our utmost striving and concentration. Imagine a runner looking back over his shoulder during a race and feeling mighty self-satisfied about how far he had come along in a race. He decides to saunter off the course, thinking to himself, well, I've certainly made a lot of progress. I've already covered many laps. I think I'll just take a seat off to the side and relax in the shade. One thing I know is I've run far enough. Maybe now I'll focus on cheering the other runners who are several laps behind me. Now, time to time, I've heard first-generation Korean-American Christians express their passion and commitment to the spiritual growth of second-generation Korean-American Christians. And while their desire to support the growth of younger Christians is commendable, their spiritual progress in the Christian life does not excuse them from the need to focus on the growth that takes the greatest precedence of all, their own. I'm afraid that when their own growth takes a back seat to supporting the growth of a younger generation of believers, such Christians have become complacent, satisfied about their spiritual progress. Now consider this. Paul wrote this epistle to the Philippians towards the end of his storied life as an apostle of Christ. And yet, we see no hint of complacency, of satisfaction regarding his spiritual progress. As our text in Philippians makes clear, even in the last few years of his life, even considering all that he has done for the Lord and all of the degree to which he's been matured in his life in Christ, he is still pressing on to grow in the knowledge and likeness of Christ, pursuing that goal with as much energy and as much focus as ever. See, pressing on to know Christ, pressing on to grow in his likeness, requires that we forget about the progress that lies behind us. There is still much more that lies ahead of us in our pursuit of knowing Christ and conforming to his image, and that must be our focus. But it is not only our past progress we must forget in order to press on towards the goal, but also our past failures. Many believers are severely hindered in their pursuit of growth because they are so fixated on their failures of the past. They're so focused on their past failures that they're almost constantly downcast and depressed, leaving them defeated, listless, feeble in the pursuit of Christ-like sanctification. Now, it is, of course, necessary to reflect on our failures to increase our sense of self-awareness, to humble us out of our spiritual pride, to increase our dependence on Christ's word, to lead us to confession and repentance, and to expose us to the reproof and correction of God. But even after all this, if we remain fixated on our past failures instead of focusing on the goal, then I say it is high time that we desist ruminating, fixating on these failures, and get back into race. Christ made us his own in order that we may run the course, not sit out indefinitely on the sidelines, griping to others, griping to him about our scrapes, bruises, stumbles, and falls along the way, no matter how catastrophic those falls may have been. So, if this describes us, get up, wipe away the tears, set our eyes on Christ Jesus, forget what lies behind, and run. The analogy of an athlete running a race is an appropriate one for the spiritual growth of sanctification because it highlights something very important. What does it highlight? It highlights the necessity of effort. Yes, the Christian life involves effort. Sanctification involves effort. Our text clarifies that significant progress in growing in the knowledge and likeness of Christ requires significant effort. It not only requires a forgetting of the spiritual progress and failures of our past, but as we read in verse 13, it requires a straining forward to what lies ahead. Effort. As the competitive runner strains his body forward as he draws near to the end of the race, exerting every ounce of energy and mental concentration to propel himself across the finish line, so must the Christian exert his or her greatest spirit-empowered effort if he or she desires to make significant progress in knowing Christ and growing in his likeness. Many Christians exert immense focus and effort to obtain advanced degrees for their education, exercise exhaustive discipline to whip their body into peak physical shape, but are distracted, lazy, and careless when it comes to progressing in their sanctification, in their conformity to Christ's character. The question is, why? Don't we want to accelerate the agonizingly slow progress we are making in the Christian life? Don't we want to mature in Christ-like holiness so that the power of God's saving work in us is strikingly obvious to others, to His glory? Well, if we do, then as our text teaches us, we must press on to make it our own. We must exercise single-minded focus on this goal of knowing Christ and becoming like Him. We must strain towards it as our highest and most precious prize in life. And of course, I'm admonishing myself as much as I'm admonishing anyone else tonight. It applies just as much to me.
we must not become depressed. Each and every time we falter and fail in the pursuit of this goal, as if our progress was supposed to be a walk in the park, easy, we just drift along and grow. It's difficult. To grow is difficult. So don't get depressed. Each and every time we stumble and fail in pursuit of that goal, the key is that we're pursuing that goal. We must be ruthless towards distractions that get in between us and the pursuit of the supreme goal. We must continue to persist in it, even when our sinful nature is sorely provoked by our own fleshly desires. We could not possibly make any progress on our own if we depended on ourselves. But thanks be to God, who has given us His Spirit, who grants us the capacity to be fruitful in our efforts. This is what we mean by the doctrine of sanctification. The Holy Spirit makes our efforts to grow in Christ's likeness and in the knowledge of Him fruitful. It's a lie, a flat-out lie to say sanctification requires no effort, just simply let go and let God, and you just drift along and grow. No, it requires effort, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us to ensure that that effort will be fruitful. Because this is true, if we are regenerated, born again, Spirit-indwelt believers in Christ Jesus, there's no other kind of believer. That's the only kind of true believer there is. Because this is true, let us press on and strain towards the goal of knowing Christ, growing in His likeness. If we do, our Spirit-empowered striving, focus, will be fruitful. We will make progress. It's not a futile striving. We will make progress. Philippians 3, 12 to 14, our passage is not a futile passage. We will make progress. Point number three, the one thing to pursue. So our text tonight concludes with verse 14, where we read, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Only when God calls each believer home to heaven will their spiritual growth in Christ's likeness be perfected. Until then, while the believer lives on earth, Christ's likeness is a goal ever to be pursued. Knowing Christ and becoming like Him is the one thing necessary for His people. It was the one thing that the Apostle Paul pursued even as the final years of his life drew to a close. So let's consider tonight, this New Year's Eve. Are we a one thing man? Or a one-thing woman? Or are we a many-things man? A many-things woman? Ever since I was diagnosed with cancer several months ago, I've struggled with certain persistent anxieties regarding my health and my future. I've since learned, throughout the process of preparing tonight's message, that I must respond to these anxieties by reminding myself that there is only one thing that is necessary for me, for my life. Verse 14, press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Just one thing, not many things, I get all worked up and worried because I'm thinking about many things. This, what about this? What if this happens? What if that happens? What am I going to do? Not many things are necessary, just one thing. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus, pursuing the goal of growing in the knowledge of Christ and in his likeness. As believers, are we anxious and troubled about many things this New Year's Eve? As believers, has our sanctification been stunted throughout the years because we have lived our Christian lives focused on a dozen things, a couple things, or even just two things, instead of focusing on and pursuing just one thing? As Christian parents, are we teaching our children and setting an example that life in Christ consists of focused pursuit of just one thing? Or have we been encouraging our children to live life seeking this thing and this thing and that thing and that thing, and the list goes on, thing after thing after thing after thing, so many different things, and they become scatterbrained like us, can't focus on the one thing that really matters because their attention is spread out among so many different things? And we've been encouraging them to live life that way, even as believers, because that's the way we've been living our lives. Focused on so many things instead of just one supreme thing. This New Year's Eve, if we belong to Christ Jesus tonight, resolve with me that henceforth we will no more pursue many things, but just one thing. The one thing that is necessary for us. That henceforth we will be a one thing man, a one thing woman, pressing on and pursuing the goal of knowing Christ, becoming like him. Live life that way, and our lives will be well worth living. It is the very purpose for which Christ died for us and made us his own. Let's pray. Holy Father, we now pray this New Year's Eve that if we are in Christ Jesus, that we would fully and wholly recognize that Christ Jesus died for us, for one supreme purpose, to make us like him. For as long as we are on this side of heaven, that likeness will never be perfect, far from it. But when we are with him in glory, that likeness will be made fully perfect. But while we're here on this earth, we pray that since this was the reason why Christ has made us his own, that we will also likewise pursue this goal of Christ's likeness in our lives here in the present time. We pray that we will not be a many things person, that we will be people who are relentlessly focused on just one thing. We pray that as we focus on that one thing and exert, like an athlete running a race, our full energies to pursuing that one thing, that by the help of your Holy Spirit, we will make significant growth in our Christian life,
in the bearing of the fruit of Christ's character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in conforming to the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ more and more, and in the knowledge of him. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.